presença do Guedes, papai. You are all aware that before June, that means April 93, we were on book 3. Do you remember? Or you don't even remember some? And then I stopped till today. And in the meantime, I have given you a few notes. Maybe July, August, October, November, something like that. Or December. The reason is very, very important. Till book 2, sometimes I used to tell you that you are not making enough progress, you are not taking enough interest, you are not doing this, you are not doing that. Up to book 2 it was all right. From book 3 onwards, book 3, book 4, book 5, part 1, part 2, the subject becomes very difficult. Yoga Sutra becomes very difficult. So difficult that it will sound only a spiritual fiction. Understand me? From book 3 onwards, it will sound a spiritual fiction. What you can't see, what you can't experience, therefore, is fiction. I'm at a loss how to and where to begin. If you have the book in your hand, if you see page 31, if you see page 31, it is the beginning of book 2. If you see the book, page 31, there is a quotation because it is the beginning of book 2. It reads very simply, how long will you tread the circling tracks of mind around your little self and petty things? Not for vain repetitions were you built out of immortal substance you were made. This is a part of philosophy we all know. We know there is a divine fragment within, we know there is an atma, that we are not mere human beings. All nonsense we know. We all know. Because it's philosophy, I call it nonsense. This philosophy we know. How to make it effect? How to make it effect is what is before us, the most difficult task. There is something immortal in us. We are not petty human beings. We all can say this. There is nothing new about it. Even some of the school children can say that in India especially. Now read. We'll go a little further. We go to page 45. Please go to page 45. There is a quotation which shows book 3 begins. Now try to read this. O strong Purana, who is he? I have heard thy cry. A seed shall be sown in death's tremendous hour. A seed shall be sown in death's tremendous hour. It's a very great promise. A branch of heaven transplant to human soil. It's another great promise. A branch of heaven transplant to human soil. Nature shall overleap her mortal step. Fate shall be changed for an unchanging will. Fate shall be changed by an unchanging will. Whose will is unchanging? Even that unchanging will is prepared to say, fate shall be changed. You see, there are mighty promises here. There is no philosophy now. They are vital promises. And to go from book 2 to book 3, therefore, means a tremendous jump across the world. There are two methods of approach. One is the practical plodding, slowly, steadily. Practical plodding, slowly, steadily. The other is bhakti. The other is bhakti. Bhakti does not necessarily mean that the progress will be fast. Am I clear? Bhakti does not necessarily mean that our progress will be fast. Rather, you take the first road or the second road. The most important thing that should happen to each one of you is change in structure. Is change in structure. Do you understand change in structure? I have been talking enough about it. You must be understanding when I say the most important thing that is needed is change in structure. How to bring about this change in structure? Whether you go the bhakti way or whether you go the practical way, unless there is a change in structure, nothing happens. Nothing. See, the human brain, is like any other organ in the body. The human brain is like any other organ in the body. It's an organ. Sometimes it appears to me that the liver is more intelligent than the brain. because the work done by the liver cannot be done by the most sophisticated hospital in the world. A single liver that works in a human body, that cannot be duplicated by the most sophisticated hospital in the world. Then what has brain to offer to man? What has brain? Why has it been given some additional status? Why? The brain is an organ like any other organ, up to 2 millimeters from the surface. The brain is an organ like any other organ in the body, up to 2 millimeters from the surface. After that, nobody knows what it is. Lower than 2 millimeters, no one knows what it is. At least modern science so far does not know. The rishis, the yogis, they did everything to go deeper. When I say that you have to change your structure, I mean that to virtually change your structure, the combination of rajas, tamas, sattva, in particular rhythm and balance. That can be done by various technical exercises, methods. Then comes the important part. Sinking below the 2 millimeter level of the brain, below the surface of the brain. Today, the most brilliant man, or in the last 6,000 years, whoever have been really great amongst us, whether prophets, scientists, whoever they be, have by chance, by mistake, by design, by practice, by method, by prayer, by any reason, have gone 1 or 2 millimeters below the surface. All those rishis and all those yogis who have remained unknown, who have given their, who have studied their entire lives and remain unknown, they have left certain methods. They have left certain methods so that we can consciously go by a millimeter or two, go down by a millimeter or two. When we go down by a millimeter or two, something happens. The first thing that happens is, all that you know, all that you have learned, all your knowledge, all your worldly ability, cannot be made use of. What happens? In that 1 or 2 millimeter when we go down, we find that all our knowledge, all our wisdom, all our activity, all our ability and possibilities don't work. Like before, a mountain of magnet, a ship's compass and other things won't work. There is a certain pressure, whether it, we call it with our normal language, magnetic pressure, electric pressure, atomic pressure, we don't know. There is something which nullifies all our learning. It is as good as losing our memory of all the worldly things. So what happens? We are at a terrible disadvantage. Because whatever there we will experience, we won't know that language. We won't know the codes. How can we decipher? That is, will be our biggest difficulty. When we go down by a millimeter or two below the cortex, the upper layer of 2 millimeters. Whatever then will happen is described in book 3. Whatever will then happen is described in book 3. If by any chance, if God is very kind to you, and you go below and further than those 2 millimeters, up to 5 millimeters, then you will understand what book 4 is telling you. And I am afraid in this lifetime we will not be able to go below the 5th millimeter. And so what book 5, the 5th book, part 1 and 2 says, will not be normally understood. But my experience about you all says that you are all not ready for book 2. Nobody does anything at home. So most of us are not ready for book 2. We are now trying to go to book 3. If you have the book, go to page 207. Page 207. Book 1, Sutra 1. Book 1, Sutra 1. Para 2. Having systematically compiled the sutras and taught his accepted disciples, said Patanjali wishes to convey that not only is this the revised text, but the final understanding of yoga for his age. The Yoga Sutra, will thus be finalized and revised in each age, like our modern age, according to the context of that age, because they are scientific, timeless, and have fathomless depths. Now, actually, the sutras begin. In Book 3, the sutras begin. Book 1 and 2 were mere mental, emotional, physical preparedness so that we could go to Book 3. For your own sake, I would like to once again tell you before I take up Book 3. That prism exercise is absolutely essential. That prism exercise is absolutely essential. It is the prism exercise that will ultimately help you to step on the subjective side of life. Unless you take a step from the objective side of life to the subjective side of life, it is not possible to understand subjective experience. Amongst the other physical exercises, so-called physical exercises, the one we are practicing here, pulling the lower abdomen, you remember?
Yes.
Pulling the lower abdomen, keeping it in, tight in, and then breathing it from here, from top of the chest. Do you remember? Have you done, some of you with me here? Some of you here have done with me. Others have not, but some have done with me. This is the most vital exercise. When I was in Mysore, there I named this, in Madhopur I named it Rajan Rhythm. In Mysore, I named it the Gold Nugget. And a few days ago that I was in Rajkot, I said, it opens the doors of God. Or opens the doors to God. It is your first step on the subjective aspect of it. The diaphragm is an excellent muscle to help us to breathe correctly, even rhythmically. But its complementary aspect is the perineum. And therefore, this exercise at the perineum is extremely important. Because the day when you will put your first step on the subjective path, you will be at the perineum. When in the objective world you will succeed in having a very rhythmic and balanced life, it will be due to your diaphragm, the three-step rhythmic breathing. But your first step on the subjective side of life is when your perineum will guide you. So if training exercises are good. The three-step is even better. But this pulling of the lower abdomen, that exercise is absolutely a must. Together with the prism exercise. You are, as I am, householders. We have our commitments in the objective world. We have to live in this objective world. We have no time by way of hours to do many hatha yoga exercises. Keeping everything in mind, I have therefore given you prism for 5 minutes and this lower abdomen exercise for maximum 2 minutes. If you value your subjective side of life, if you want to put your first step on the subjective side of life, see that you very sincerely, very seriously follow these two exercises, of course, the three-step and the refining are very much needed also. But these two give you a life for these two exercises. Because unless a little change takes place inside of you, nothing will work. Nothing. No more. The 8 steps of yoga. Definitely every child in India would know the 8 steps of yoga. Yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Let us talk of the second step. Niyama. What does the sutra say about niyama? The yoga of action leading to union with the soul is fiery aspiration, spiritual reading and devotion to Ishvara. It means nothing, absolutely. It has no meaning for us. It has practically no meaning for us. And we stop at niyama. And there is no possibility for us to even think about dhana, dhyana, samadhi, or pratyahara. See what is required of you. Fiery aspiration. What you have done in the last couple of years, you should have done in 5-6 minutes. That should because I have aspiration. And the next step is absolutely impossible, spiritual living. Sorry, 241. Page 241. And finally, devotion to Ishvara. These are vague words for us at this stage of our life. All three are absolutely vague words because we have done nothing to put our first step on the subjective side of life. Actually, book 3 begins on page 239. It begins on page 239. First sutra says in book 3, the attainment of spiritual consciousness is rapid for those whose will is intensely alive. What is spiritual consciousness? When your present state of awareness, is improved, to a very great extent, then we are on the verge of understanding spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is another word for divine fragment or soul. Spiritual consciousness is another word for divine fragment also. The attainment of spiritual consciousness a human being minus the spiritual consciousness. A human being minus the spiritual consciousness. That means minus divine fragment or soul, whatever you might call it. That means this body. It can never attain to the state of spiritual consciousness. This body can never attain to the stage of spiritual consciousness. If spiritual consciousness is divine fragment of Atma, then whatever best this body-brain system can do is be in communication. The maximum this body-brain system can do is to be in communication. Book 3 begins, with the caution. That whatever we may have read, whatever we may have heard, whatever we may have visualized about soul, about Atma, about the end fragment, we can set aside, because all this has been hearsay and not experience. Now the sutra is talking about communication. Communication with divine fragment. If this body brain system can put up communication with the divine fragment, with the spiritual consciousness within, then we can go further with Book 3. As I've just pointed out to you, niyama is so difficult that it has remained only as words, spiritual reading, devotion to Ishvara, and the first point is intense activity. All your 6, 7, 8 years work that you have done should have been done in the last 5 minutes. Intense application. See, time and again I have told you, sometimes a bit harshly, but I don't want to hurt you. These sutras will remain words only. All the magnificent possibilities will remain only spiritual fiction. You have to do something, and something quickly, if you want to put in practice the sutras from Book 3 onwards, very seriously. The sutra points out to those who begin yoga from a very early and tender age. You see what it means? I'll put a full stop to most of you. I'm sorry, but I have put, in other words, a full stop to most of you. The first line reads what? This sutra points to those who begin yoga from a very early and tender age. Why? course they must have spent a good number of their incarnations on the path already. Then only they can begin yoga at a very tender age. If you have to compensate this and begin at 30, 40, 50, 60, can you imagine what more you have to put in? Such persons not only reap the fruits of the earlier hard work in previous lives, am I clear? Such persons not only reap the fruits of the earlier hard work in previous lives, but are intent and serious to reach moksha in this. The absorption is intense. I just told you that what you have done in the last few years, you should have been able to do in the last 5 minutes. The absorption is intense. The non-attachment is natural. They begin as advanced disciples or as those who have arrived. The others, make note of this, the others begin somewhere, somehow in life. Am I clear? Do I read again? The others begin somewhere, somehow in life. Do you want to begin somewhere, somehow in life? Today, you have come to a crossroads. If you want to understand and digest book 3 and onwards, this is very important to understand. Would you begin somewhere, somehow in life? Or would you like to compensate for all the years that have gone between your tender age and your present age, how much more hard work you should be ready to put in. If some of you think, I will take the bhakti path, okay, take it. Even then, to begin at the tender age, you should have started 30, 40 births earlier. Your bhakti. And if you are doing it now for the first time, you have to compensate for all the hard work you should have or would have done by now. You have come to this critical point in your life. A critical point in life when you decide, I will die doing it. Or turn your back and say, next time. You have come to that critical stage now. When you have to take one of the two decisions, I will die doing it. I will try in my next birth. One of the two decisions you have to take. And don't keep on plodding somewhere, somehow. I am not here to discourage you. Neither I want to encourage you unnecessarily. You have to learn the technique of walking on thin ice without falling. Critical sake. So for your sake and my sake, make your decision. If you make the decision, I'll die doing it, continue with me. If you honestly make the decision, it's too much for me, then turn your back. This is not a simple yoga class. I am not interested in some asanas and some pranayama, which you could very easily come, do, please me, please yourself and go home. This is not a normal yoga school. Make up your mind, come to a firm decision, be honest with yourself and also with me, and take your very difficult, critical decision. I am not asking you to tell me now what your decision is. Go home. Think honestly. Again and again. Whether you will be able to put in what you are required to put in. Your six refining, your three step rhythmic breathing, they'll make you much better human beings. There's no question. The three step rhythmic breathing and the six refining exercises by themselves will make you very fine, suitable human beings. If you decide in your next birth to start early. But it is not enough here. It is like a fork of friendship, small plane trying to go into space. It will go 12,000 feet, it will fly at 15,000 feet and it will come down. So, your structure, which is equivalent to a fork of friendship, small plane. If you want to go into space, make up your mind. Make up your mind. Whether you'll be content to fly from here to there, or you would like to go into space. That critical final decision you take at home. I am not questioning your sincerity. I am not questioning.